Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Happy Friday. It's Dukes and Bell. It's hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we've got cooking coming up at 3:40. We're going to talk to our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, at 3:20. Before we get to what's going on around the NFL, crazy video is out there. I just retweeted it for those who have not seen it. My wife and I were crying last night when I saw this for the first time when a rabid bobcat attacks a woman.
Yes.
And the husband.
Well, the husband comes to the rescue.
Yeah. So he, and you got to see the video because, again, Mike and I, and we can't play it for you because there's a lot of cussing in it once the action happens. But this goes literally, and this could be in any neighborhood in Atlanta. This actually happened, I think, somewhere in Texas, I believe, is what they're saying. No, it's actually a North Carolina story. So, but when you see the video, this could be any Nest camera, you know, pick your service. And you see the gentleman basically see his neighbor and he's like, good morning. And everything's so pleasant and it's just a beautiful neighborhood. And then all of a sudden you hear his wife screaming. And when you see this video, you guys will see what I'm talking about. This husband then he turns into like this madman, grabs this bobcat like it's Simba, okay, from The Lion King, throws it, and then, Mike, whoop, pulls a gun and is chasing this thing. I'm going to kill it. It's the funniest thing ever.
I just love when he tells his wife, or the neighbor, get out of here. It's a bobcat. It's a rabid bobcat. It's all up. Carl's got it up. I've got it up at Mike Bell, ATL. But I don't know. I give him credit, though. There's a lot of dudes out there that would not have grabbed the bobcat. I mean, the first thing I thought of is the scene in Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby's dad's trying to teach him how to get the edge back, and he's in the car with a cougar. Right? That's what I mean. So, but anyway, the dude throws the sucker, and he's all amped up. But it's so funny because the guy comes out. He sets his coffee on the hood of the car. Hey, good morning. And they're like, holy blank, it's a bobcat. And all hell breaks loose.
It attacks his wife is the reason why he grabs it. So if you're going, why? She's on one side of the car. He's actually got the passenger side.
Yeah, the two cars are in the driveway, and at first you really can't see what's happening, and you see, he's got the bobcat in his hands.
So he's trying to get something out of the car, and his wife just comes, like she's walking outside, and then all of a sudden you hear her screaming for her life, and then he reacts. It's up, guys, and literally, if you've not seen it, you guys know what we're talking about, but again, nobody hurt, you know, but here's my thing.
Good old-fashioned funny video.
Here's my thing, though. Where'd the gun come from? This guy was the perfect neighbor. All of a sudden, he was Clint Eastwood.
He went to the Gat.
This guy was, good morning. Good to see you. Beautiful day outside. I'm going to kill that.
I'm going to shoot that blanker.
And he's got the gun out. And I'm like, wait a minute. He was on one side of the car. Where did this gun come from? So
It was on his person, but anyway.
Oh, my
God, man.
He was carrying.
So it's funny. A guy had not heard about it, and then he saw me post it. He goes, is that in your neighborhood? I go, no. We have armadillos and coyotes, but I don't feel the need to go out my driveway with the Beretta. Although, who knows, man?
Yeah, it's just fun stuff. Go check it out at Dukes and Bell 929 at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL. Lots going on today. We'll keep you updated with what's going on with the Braves. We'll talk to Joe Patrick about what Buster Olney had to say to us, which is, when's Austin Riley going to get it going? Mm-hmm. Guys, he wasn't in the starting lineup today. Adoranza was at third base. So, you know, is this a day off? Maybe it was. Is this a message from Snit? Maybe it was. Or is he just struggling and they don't trust him right now? Maybe it was.
Yeah, I mean, we can only be left to kind of, as Carl just said, kind of ponder where this is going. I think, and I brought this, it's funny because Carl said, I brought it up yesterday, and then Buster only came up and said, yeah, Austin Riley's got to get together. He literally blank or get off the pot. It's three seasons now, Carl. This is his third season. The first year, he came on like a house of fire, and then they started throwing, what's that, Joe Boo? The curveball, the slider, other, you know, balls that go far, that go straight, I hit very well. And then, you know, he was going to regroup. Last year, I don't think he really reached full potential, obviously. I mean, to me, what's full potential? Guys, like, what do you expect out of Dansby? I don't know, 275, he was the number one player taken in the amateur draft.
Right? I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Come on, okay. Shit. He's got
I mean, and look, and Dansby, thank God he got the walk-off base knock yesterday. But, I mean, Austin Riley, I mean, to be a major leaguer and play third base, I'm expecting 25 home runs. You know, I mean, whatever it is, you know, again on base, if it's not, I know nowadays, Carl, it's walk or home run, right, or strikeout. But I just think Austin Riley has just not proven that he belongs to be the everyday starting third baseman for this team.
Well, and maybe that's the message that's being sent today. Seriously. And if it's not out of runs, I know you guys are going, well, he's not as good as Riley. It's not about that.
But he was actually raking in spring training.
Yes. You need guys that are hitting. So we'll keep an eye out. Joe Patrick's on the way, coming up to talk Braves here in just a bit. Right now, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I'm looking at this. Davis hits us up after seeing the video of the bobcat. Says, damn, that bobcat was on that woman. Like, boom. He said, I saw it this morning. That's true. I mean, I don't even know where the bobcat came from. And why she didn't see him. It's crazy. All right.
Hadn't kicked in yet, you know.
We were talking about Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Mike, the Patriots have only drafted a quarterback in the first round twice. 1980, a guy named Tony Eason. Some of you may not even remember him. And then in 80, that was actually 83, Tony Eason. And then Drew Bledsoe in 93. Remember, Brady was not a first-round pick.
Yeah, Eason was part of that John Elway Marino class. That's again, Eason did get to go to a Super Bowl and got absolutely demolished by the Chicago Bears in 85.
So Belichick is saying, and the reason why we're talking about the Patriots, guys, if we want a trade partner, we've been talking about Denver and maybe the Patriots are two teams that are still there that may be willing to make a move, and maybe we can, you know, add the picks we've been talking about. But he says there are players that if you grade on what they've done or what their production has been over the course of their career, you're not going to get that player if you see the player's upside in development and growth and you pay a much higher price for that player. So what he's saying is we're not going to reach. I'm not going to just go get a guy. He's saying I want value, and that's been part of Belichick's makeup. But he's saying here recently, as a matter of fact, today, talking about quarterbacks that, you know, it could be scheme related when you talk about production in college. It could be all the things, physical development, how a player, you know, comes along in a certain system. But he says, I'm not going to reach. We won't reach to go get our quarterback.
You know, it's definitely an interesting, it's an interesting group.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, man, there was talk that Mac Jones makes a hell of a lot more sense for the Patriots at 15. Mac Jones than he would ever for the top five pick. You know, this is the great debate. If you're surrounded by tremendous talent, if you are loaded, if you're playing on the Yankees or the Steelers of college football, whatever, you know, how much is you, how much is the rest of the guys around you? Mac Jones did a fantastic job, solid piece, but to me, I can't draft him if I was third with the 49ers, but he makes perfect sense for, but it's all Belichick needs,
it's all
right?
He needs. Yeah.
With a great defense that he always has in New England.
So speaking of quarterbacks, Mike, did you see Justin Fields is the betting favorite now in Vegas to go third?
Yeah, stock went down, then went right back up. I'm telling you, I think Shanahan is going to break our hearts and take Fields at three. Then we can trade down if you like Trey Lance. If they don't, then we just trade down and get the best quarterback.
I want Lance, Mike.
Again, I can get you, Carl. What if, I know we're on a car lot. What if I could get you a Davis Mills in the third round?
I want a convertible that's fully loaded, okay? Fully loaded convertible is Justin Fields.
By the way, as soon as I got word from Rick Hendrick Chevrolet yesterday, I called Carl in like 2 seconds. I was a little kid yesterday. I'm grinning ear to ear. I might be getting the new Corvette. I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like it's on its way.
Let me tell you this. You sent the picture. I showed it to Michelle. Michelle goes, what is that? She didn't even recognize it. I go, take a guess. She goes, is it a Lambo? I go, mm-mm. She goes, is that a Ferrari? Mm-mm. She goes, is that something from the new Batman movie? I go, mm-mm. It's the new Corvette. She goes, Mike. I go, yep.
So the guy, I got the call from my guy last night, and apparently I may have just gotten under the wire for the April allotment. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
There's only a certain number they're releasing, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, the factor. But anyway, you know me, man. My dad was a Corvette guy. I mean, again, my dad wasn't rich. Our Corvettes had more Bondo on it than paint. But anyway, Carl knows that I'm a big Corvette guy. But anyway, but you're right, though. I mean, I love the idea of trading. Carl, if we could go to 9 and get Trey Lance, if the Broncos want to go get a corner.
Go ahead.
But wouldn't you – you could argue that if Matt Ryan is contractually obligated by the cap hit to be here, why not go with the guy Lance we don't have to throw into the Wolves yet? And he can learn, and then eventually we can bring him out. I don't know if that'll be boring to the fans, but it's not the worst option. And then we could also pick up some extra picks by doing it.
Yeah. So I'm sure this will be professorial as always, guys, but we can hear from Bill Belichick talking about adjusting for value in this upcoming draft.
If certain players weren't there and you felt like, well, the value of that pick might be the same whether you're at 15 or at a lower position, or you feel like you're going to get the same player, the same quality of player, or maybe the player that you like for whatever reason you think would be available at 20, then maybe you trade back to 20 and take them there, or take that value at 20 rather than taking it at 15.
See, you follow that?
Absolutely. That's the big thing that I'm hoping the Falcons are able to do. The value of this is first-round talent, yes. Okay, so he's projected to be a top 10 pick, but you get him at 20. That's
right.
Value.
Right.
Because, one, you're not paying him what top 10 guys are getting, so the pay is less. You're going to get the talent level that you wanted, and he may exceed your expectations because you're getting him at 20 versus when you may have tried to get him earlier. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's, to me, Mike, that's the secret of the NFL draft. If you're going to have a successful draft, it's what is the value? And if you're going to go like Thomas Dimitroff did a few years back, obviously, with Julio, he better turn out to be damn near a Hall of Fame kind of player. If you're giving up all that capital,
right?
He's got to be that kind of player. So I hear Belichick. I hear what he's saying.
Look, I just want us to get the most pieces right now. And we could just concentrate. Again, I know the Dolphins are kind of like our benchmark for this, right? But, Carl, if I could have 5 picks in the first 80, you know what I mean? Imagine that. I mean, or the first 90 or 100. That's what I'm looking for, maybe more. And then we could really get the offensive line depth. Get a tackle who can start at guard. Get a corner. Get a safety. Get an edge rusher. I mean, and the running back. And can I do all that before we get to, like, the fourth round? I mean, that's what trading back could get you.
By the way, when I say I don't want Lance. I want what I want. Okay, I'm not saying Trey Lance because I know guys will come back at me and we'll draft this kid and they'll be like, he's great and he may be. But right now, before this draft, I want what I want. I'm going to the ice cream store, Mike, and I want what I want. I don't want you to tell me what I want. I don't want you to tell me what you think I want. I want what I want.
You kind of sound like Popeye right there. I want what I want.
I want what I want. So when you say Trey Lance, he might be a great quarterback, but right now, I don't want Trey Lance.
You get no frozen yogurt. I want what I want. No, I mean, like, I'm with you, bro. We've been going round and round on this. A chance to win $1,000 coming up in a sec. But I just think do you agree with me now that we're like, what, 10 days away from the draft? Is that what it is or not? 2 weeks, 13 days. Do your math. Do your research.
Do your research.
That we're less than 2 weeks out. Thanks, Thomas. 2 weeks out that the 49ers with the third are going to select Justin Fields. Justin Fields is going to be a 49er.
No! No!
Kyle Shanahan will continue to break Falcons fans' hearts.
No, I'm going to say no now, and I'm going to say no on the 29th. No! No! Okay? And you can see my face on Twitch. No!
No, no, no.
All right, man. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Bike is the word. Debo on a bike coming to take your chain. B-I-K-E. B-I-K-E. Bike is the word. Text to the 72881. 72881.
Hey, Coach, are those bike shorts a bit snug? Now, again, that, I think we had this word a few weeks ago. Bike goes to 72881. We already gave away a grand. Everybody on the station is giving away a grand. You get a grand. You get a grand. Bike to 72881. Answer the phone if you don't recognize the number. Could be Odyssey. Then again, if you're a reprobate, it could be a bill collector. You roll the dice, Carl.
Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, will join the show next. How do we get this offense working and more pitchers to the IL? It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we'll tell you what we've got cooking. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home on a Friday. Also, we're going to talk to our man Jeff Centel about the Dogs. G-Day's tomorrow, man. And we've been talking a lot about it, Mike, getting ready for the Georgia spring game and the expectations of what to look for. We'll get Jeff's thoughts on this team.
And also want to pick Jeff's brain because, you know, this and we mentioned this, we're talking to Charles Barkley, and that interview is on at Odyssey.com, guys. The NCAA's board of directors is going to vote on April 28th, and apparently it's just going to be a rubber stamp because it's a done deal. But the one time, Carl, as you said, sort of call it a universal transfer portal for everybody, right?
Yes.
How many guys can Georgia snag? Sounds like a lot of people unhappy in Tennessee right now. You know, it seems like there's a lot of folks with the new schools and the new coaches. And, again, it could be ACC or SEC. But can Georgia beef up, whether they're happy with their wide receiver room right now or especially the defensive backs? They just took a kid from West Virginia. I just love to see who can do it. And maybe, you know, hey, Coach Collins at Tech, you know, can he beef up? Because this is a year where he's got to win seven games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's interesting. We'll talk to Jeff coming up at 4 o'clock, guys. Right now, we welcome in our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, here on the WaitForward.com hotline. Ford's, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And let's talk about what is not happening right now with this Braves team. First of all, Joe, and we'll keep you guys updated throughout the course of the afternoon of what's happening today in Chicago, but more on the Braves specifically about today at 5:40 as we go around the yard. What's not happening with this team, in your opinion, Joe Patrick, right now that's hurting us?
Well, I think the biggest difference between this year or what's happening right now and last year, and I think why this is so jarring, is that the team is not holding on to leads. You know, the bullpen is blowing leads, which we did not really see much of at all last year. And I think that maybe some of us kind of got lured into a false sense of security thinking that that was just going to continue to happen this year, and not really realizing that what happened last year with the bullpen was just so kind of out of the ordinary. And I think that that's why it's so frustrating to see this team so far this season too, because it's always just frustrating when you feel like you've got a lead or a potential win in your hands and you see it slip away. Those are the ones that really stick in your craw the most, I think, if you're a baseball fan. And so I think that that's the biggest thing that this team isn't doing right now. I mean, obviously at the plate, they're having some struggles as well. Some guys are off to slow starts. Austin Riley, Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies. You could put all three of those guys are potential kind of impact bats in the lineup that really help support and lengthen that lineup with what you get out of guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. and Freddie Freeman. And so I think that those guys will come around eventually. That's just kind of the nature of the law of large numbers, where you get those guys enough at bats, they're going to perform. But I think the bullpen's a little bit different. I think it's a little bit scarier of a situation right now, and I think that that's something that probably needs addressing sooner rather than later.
Adrianza getting the start at third base today, and I know that if they asked Snicker, he would poo-poo it. But we talked about it with Buster Olney yesterday, Joe. I mean, it's kind of time to take the next step for Austin Riley, isn't it, this year? And how short is the leash going to be from Alex Anthopoulos with Riley?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I think that a lot of us were looking at this season for Austin Riley as one that's going to be kind of pivotal at his point in his career, at least as far as his future with the Braves is concerned. And I still feel like that is the case, although I think it's definitely too early at this point right now to make a clear determination on that. But, you know, it's really interesting, a player like Austin Riley, because, I mean, it feels like he's been around for a while now, but he still has not played a full 162-game season in the major league. I mean, he played a full season last year, but only a 60-game season. That's kind of a different story. So, you know, I think it does get lost on a lot of people how young he still is, but I think obviously the conundrum that the Braves are facing right now with a player like Austin Riley and their other pitchers, especially that kind of fit this mold, is that you have a talented, you got a guy who has talent, who's young, but is that talent enough to support a team that has ambitions to win a World Series? Or is the better move to try to parlay, you know, the value you have in an asset like that in a trade to acquire a guy who's more capable of giving you the short-term benefit? So, you know, I'm still very high on Austin Riley long-term. I think he'll have a really good career, and that could very well be with the Braves. But I also understand why there might be some interest in trying to flip him in a deal if you can get a guy that can help you kind of in this window that the Braves are in right now to win a World Series.
It's Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. Ronald Acuna. I mean, it's way too early to talk about, you know, MVP, even though I think we could easily be watching this year's MVP
no, it's not
in front of us. But But let's talk about chasing some of these milestones. And, you know, I mean, we kind of look at this and we go, man, well, this is a record-breaking start that he's off to. But he also has a chance to potentially chase some of these records and milestones, doesn't he?
It is absolutely insane what he's doing right now. It's just it's at the point where when he comes up the bat, you're just kind of expecting him to, you know, either hit a home run or at the very least get on base somehow. Because, you know, when you look at the metrics on him, it's just out of this world in terms of where he ranks in baseball, in terms of everything at the plate, whether it's power, you know, the exit velocity, or just like, you know, taking pitches that are outside the zone and drawing walks. He is just a complete hitter right now. And I think like more of a complete hitter than obviously he's ever been in his career. And it's kind of like what we've heard this kind of talk from people in the organization about this guy that he could develop into. And it's so fun to actually see him at this point now, kind of, he is that player that I feel like we've heard a lot about. We always, you know, knew he had the talent to be. You know, if you look at the last 162 games that he's played, he's hit 51 homers and has 43 steals. So when we talk about a 40-40 season, he's had a 50-40 season. Just, you know, if we're talking kind of like in the terms of like a Tiger Slam, you know, that, doing it over, you know, 162 games, just incredible what he's doing. And, you know, thank goodness he is doing this, because right, it's kind of the one saving grace, and it's one reason why everybody wants to tune in and watch this Braves team right now.
It is Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Yeah, like the old, what's the old wrestling line, Carl? He's a one-man gang, Ronald Acuna. But, yeah, Darnold with an RBI today, and he's starting to kind of snap out of it. Ozuna has a hit today in Chicago as well. So here's the thing, the pitching. You know, I mean, Smiley, yeah. Carl joked around with me about, I don't know this Smiley, I don't know this guy. So he's now a little dinged up. Obviously, Freed. I mean, this is a little, let's hope that Kyle Wright can handle this. Where's Bryce Wilson in all this, though?
Well, I think Bryce Wilson will get called up here to make a start after Waskar Yanoa pitches tomorrow. It's just I think that the reason why he hasn't been called up yet is because if you're looking at the Braves roster, they may be having to designate somebody for assignment to call him up, so they won't want to do that until they could potentially have to use that player in these next couple days. So I fully expect him to come up and make that start in place of where Max Fried would be pitching. And this, you know, this is just the time of the season the Braves are going to have to try to weather through this storm. It reminds me of last year. I remember coming on the show with you guys after Mike Soroka got hurt, and it was like, I remember describing it as like, you're kind of falling off the edge of a cliff or a hill or something. You just got to try to find a foothold and kind of maintain your position until you can kind of regroup and figure out how to kind of rebuild, you know, the roster and get guys in better form. And I feel like that's where this team is right now as well. When you have a guy like Max Fried, who did not get off to a strong start to the season, you know, Mike Soroka had a little bit of a setback in his recovery. So you really need some of these guys like Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson to come in and just give you serviceable outings and just kind of keep you afloat. And thank goodness that Waskar Yanoa has come up and looking like the best pitcher on this staff right now, perhaps. I mean, the guy has bona fide, like, strikeout stuff. He's really fun and kind of an unexpected star, I think, for this Braves team. But, you know, they just got to try to weather the storm right now until some of these guys can start hitting a little bit better. Some of these pitchers can get a little bit of rest and get healthy again and find their form as well. But it's definitely kind of an inflection point of the season for the Braves, despite the fact that it's so early.
It is our Braves insider, Joe Patrick. We're talking Braves. Braves playing at the Cubs today. We'll keep you updated on what's going on up there as well throughout the course of the show. We'll talk Dogs coming up here at 4 o'clock with Jeff Sintel. G-Day is tomorrow in Athens. All right, so let's talk about Snit and these lineup changes and what he's attempting to do. What do you think he's attempting to do? He tinkered with the lineup here these last couple of home games. They're on the road. Mike talked about Adoranza starting at third base. What do you think he's trying to do? Is this to spark guys, or is this simply he's tinkering with it to try to trigger some other things?
Well, I think when it comes to Adoranza, who I'm just going to call AD from now on, because okay, that's what they seem to have been calling him on the team. You. And I think we can all agree that that's something that's an easy nickname we can have for him. You know, I think that's just kind of a typical thing where he's going to, you know, rest Austin Riley on a day game after a travel day. Not a huge surprise there for me, but obviously the big move that you're alluding to there, Carl, is the fact that Freddie Freeman was moved up to the two hole. And that is, I think, I'm actually very encouraged by the fact that they were willing to make that move so early in the season. Because if you remember back to 2019, it took them about 6 weeks before they kind of made the big kind of move in the batting order to move Ronald Acuña Jr. back up to first and do some of the things that I feel like a lot of fans were and pundits were kind of expecting or hoping the team to make. And I think that you have immediately seen how much more dangerous this lineup can be when you have Freddie Freeman hitting right behind Ronald Acuña Jr. It makes it more difficult for a pitcher, I think, just mentally too, knowing that you got the MVP of the league coming up behind the guy who is, you know, as scorching hot as you can possibly be right now. And so I think it helps even Marcelo Zuna down the line. He's going to have better opportunities. And so I really think that was the right move to make, and I'm happy to see it. And I think this batting order and this lineup is going to be very productive. This offense is going to be very good once you start getting some of those supplemental hitters that are down the order, like Dansby Swanson and Ozzie Albies. I think once those guys get going, behind how strong the top of this order is, I think you've got a really potent offense there, even if you do have a guy like Christian Pache who's not going to really hit at the bottom. I really think that this is a bona fide, powerful offense.
All right, before we cut you loose, with the bullpen, the Braves fans yesterday chanting Shane Green, Shane Green. Now, he never really solidified his role as a closer here, but as a setup man, we need him right now. He's out there. He's on the float. What's the likelihood we go make a phone call?
He is, and apparently Mark Bowman reported that he was in the stands for a game recently. Wow. Out there in the left field seats taking in a game, which is an interesting move to me. I don't know how likely it is that they sign him, and especially after doing that, I kind of wonder if that might even make them a little bit more hesitant to go out and make that move, but I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, clearly they need to address this bullpen, as we were talking about earlier, and he is a guy that's out there. He is available. I would not be against the move at all. But, you know, it depends on the kind of money that he's asking for, basically. That's what it seems to come down to, because there's a reason why a guy who is as talented as him is still a free agent, has not signed with any team, not just the Braves. He hasn't signed with any team, and we're already, you know, a few weeks into the season now. So, but I think they clearly should be examining that and looking at that option.
Joe Patrick, great job. Have a great weekend. We'll keep an eye out on the Braves. Hopefully they can handle business in Chicago. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Sounds good, guys.
Joe Patrick, guys, here on the WaitForward.com hotline. It is Dukes and Bell. We'll tell you what we've got cooking. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. While we're tailgating, I got to tell a story about a drive-thru today. We always talk about drive-thrus. It happened to me today.
I know where you were.
And I just am like, come on, man. What is the deal? And you start to, like, fight this urge to, like, you know, you really want to cut somebody out. And then somebody had the audacity to say, why would you expect the food to be free? Because the service is not supposed to take the customers all day to get.
Carl Dukes as Michael Douglas in Falling Down, coming up on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, it's Friday, which means hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We do this each and every week, and we've been doing it for months now, going back to the pandemic, which is what sparked this. We were all at home, and we started cooking, and we started sharing, and we all loved it, and we continue to do it. We do it with Mike Conti at Mike Conti 929. We do it at Squid Billy 929, Mike Bell ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. Tweet at us and make sure you use the hashtag. What is going on today, Bo Morgan?
Oh man, it's a little chilly outside, but it's a beautiful day. Rode the golf cart up to the clubhouse, got a little lunch, and now I get to talk about what I'm going to cook this weekend.
Mike, you hear this? Mike, you hear this?
Yeah, I always love it. I think that's something that the listeners really relate to when he talks about going to the clubhouse and grabbing lunch. It's great relatability.
Hey, I am the most relatable person on the show.
Yes, of course. But it's just the way it's the presentation. But anyway, it is our hashtag, Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. What you cooking up there, man?
I'm messing with you, Bo. But Mike, I just wondered if you heard what I heard. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. Maybe you can tell us what major sporting event you might or might not go to this weekend.
I fell into some tickets, all right? Don't point the finger at me.
Wow. I got my choice of the weekend, yeah. So I just decided Jeez. To steady go.
Carl went to Matt. By the way, you appreciate this, Squid Billy, sidebar. Mike Conti likes race car racing. Jimmy Johnson's going to be driving an IndyCar. I'm going over to Barber Motorsports Park outside of Birmingham on Sunday for the first race of the IndyCar season this year.
Jimmy Johnson is?
Yeah, he's going to be doing a couple of races. Wow. Yeah, man. Okay. Okay. So he's teamed up with Tony Kanaan. So he's the car is actually looks like the old Lowe's car, different sponsor. But yeah, look for the 48 this, I think it's on NBC Sports on Sunday.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's driving for Ganassi, right?
Yeah, Chip.
Yep. So, he's going to run. I think he's running a partial schedule, if I'm not mistaken. I remember me and Mike Conti had talked about it on Splash and Dash at the end of last year when he decided, all right, guys, so I'm going low-key this weekend because I did a lot last weekend for the Masters. When I was at Buckhead Butcher Shop a while back, I got some of the wild boar sausage.
Ooh.
Yum, 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 yum.
And so I'm going to pull out the Weber, get the Vortex going. I'm going to do a couple burgers on the side, but I'm going to get the cast iron, pour a beer in it, let those things sit in there for a little bit, turn them, and then I'm going to throw them on top of in the middle of the Vortex and get a nice sear on those things. And I think I'm going to – I was walking around Kroger this morning, and I grabbed a bag of those Arby curly fries. I think I'm going to throw them in the air fryer and do those up nice. Yep. And watch – I think I'm going to do it Sunday when I watch Richmond.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, man. By the way, I've not had that sausage. I know Connor over at Buckhead Butcher Shop has told us about it. Bo, have you had it before?
I have. I bought it the first time I went down there, and I liked it so much that I went back and got more. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, really, man. Good.
I got to check it out. I got to check it out. I got to get my hands on it there, Mike Conti. Mike Conti, Carl, what's going on?
It's really, 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 really good.
Thank you, Bo.
Especially when cooked by Taco Fall, Mike Conti.
He would be the attraction. What's going on, Mike? Be.
Exactly. I'll do another steak probably tonight. I actually have some steaks coming down from Chicago.
Whoa. Explain.
Well, Steve Holman and I, we were traveling with the Hawks last year. Steve introduced me to the folks at Gibson's, which is his favorite steakhouse in Chicago. And Steve knows a guy who got me a little bit of a deal on some Chicago cuts. So my wife told me they got to the porch at 1:15 this afternoon. So hopefully they're in the fridge, and by, I don't know, 7:30 it'll be consumed. But, you know, I actually learned a new technique last Sunday. After the Hawks game, I stopped in Buckhead Butcher Shop. And sometimes I like going in there and just asking, what looks good today? And they pointed me to a porterhouse. And I just don't do T-bones a lot. You don't really think of it. You know, mm-hmm. You do a ribeye or a strip or a filet. But they hooked me up with this porterhouse. It was delicious. I thought, okay, I'm going to do a board sauce. And basically, the way you do a board sauce is you grill your steak. You get it really good and hot. And then when you pull it off the grill, you smear butter on a cutting board. And you let the steak rest on the butter. It melts the butter. It also kind of absorbs some of it. So I got the Black Gold Barbecue Banner Butter. Have you guys tried this?
It's crazy.
Okay, now when you unwrap it, it looks like pumice. You know, it right. looks like lava soap. It's a very unusual color. But the reason why it looks like that is because it's loaded with black truffle. And I want to tell you, it was just absolutely phenomenal. It was delicious. And a method that I'm going to try again, the board sauce, you basically carve the steak and then you toss it in the drippings of the steak and the Ooh. Butter. And it's just so good. It really
Taco Fall. Taco Fall would be the attraction.
John, yes. Please, John, yes. Not germane to this conversation.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds delicious, though, Conti. It really does, man. So, and let me know. I'm just curious because my wife's got a friend in Indiana, and there's this amazing shop that her friend sent us to me because she heard us talking about the tailgate, and she said, I want you guys to try some of this. And so she sent, as a gift, the Japanese, the A5 Conti we talked about.
Oh.
Dude.
Do not, Carl, please promise me you will not overcook that. Please promise me.
And my whole thing was like her name's Tamar. Where did you get this?
Right.
Like what? So I am curious because, you know, once I do it, I don't know if I'm going to do it tonight, but once I do it, I want to make sure that because I want to want more.
It's a lot of pressure, though, isn't it?
When
you get something that good, it's pressure. You really only get one shot to get it right.
Oh, by the way, Chef Conti, it is our hashtag Dukes of Bell tailgate at home 2020. I picked up some Wagyu fillets. I'm going to do meat with a side of meat tonight. We're gonna reverse sear like we've always been doing on the Rectech, those fillets. But I picked up the spinellus cut, Mike.
Yep.
Real quick, spinellus. So here's the thing. When I go to then hit the sear, that's when I'm going to throw my spinellus cut in. What do you think about it? 2 minutes on each side? How should I pop it?
How thick?
It's relatively thin.
Yeah, I'd say two aside. I mean, the spinellus is the fat cap of the ribeye, basically, so it's not going to take very long to cook.
Okay, I don't want to jack it up. Becky's worried about how would you season it or any special way
you
season
the spinellus? Just salt and pepper, I think. Okay. I mean, again, you hear that, Becky?
Salt and pepper.
Don't you kind of feel like if it's good quality meat, the flavor is going to come from the meat, not anything you really put on or over
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. Got it from the Cleaver and the Cork. They're also doing, I told this earlier to Carl, Komodo Joe giveaway to help the tornado victims down in Coweta County. So if you're a grill master, go see those guys. And they're good friends with our buddies at Buckhead Butcher Shop.
So, guys, I'm going to do tonight, we're going to do blackened sea bass, some heirloom tomatoes, mozzarella, basil. I think we've got the balsamic, what's it called, vinaigrette to go on top.
Yeah.
So it is light, but I love sea bass. Conti, you like sea bass?
Love sea bass. Absolutely. Love
it. So it's a fairly easy to do, but, you know, again, depending on your budget, I have not had sea bass in a very long time, and this is one of those spur-of-the-moment things. I bought it the other day. I was at the market and went, okay, I haven't had sea bass in a while. So make sure, you know, again, I'll tell you guys how it comes out, but I'm not going to cook those long either. It's just I think they'll fall apart. But I can't wait. That's what we're going to do tonight. And then I'm going to try that meat that was sent to us. And then I'm going to make my way back to Buckhead Butcher Shop because they do such an amazing job, guys. And I got to make my way back down there to pick up some stuff. Bo, tell everybody where they can find Buckhead Butcher Shop.
Yeah, guys, you can go down to Buckhead and find Buckhead Butcher Shop. You can go to online on Twitter at Buckhead Butcher Shop. And you can also hit them up on Instagram. And you can check out Revere Meat, which is a part of Buckhead Butcher Shop, which I believe is a part of the Cork and the Cleaver as well.
They're on the short side, if you're in Buckhead, Carl, behind the old $3 cafe, the short side of Far Road. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, guys, have a great weekend. Conti, I know it's busy for you. By the way, I know we're off to a really good start when it comes to CONCACAF, but now it's MLS, it's Orlando. Just want to get your take real quick. Atlanta United this weekend, Saturday match starting at 3. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. Orlando City really had Atlanta United's number last year, especially in matches played down there. You just hope that the two matches you got to play against Alajuelense help build the cohesion and the chemistry because you're so early in the season with new players and a new coach. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be a very chaotic match. I think it'll be intense. Hopefully Atlanta United can go down there and get a result.
All right, man. We do it each and every Friday. It's our hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We want to see your pictures as well. Use the hashtag, tag us all on it, and we'll certainly interact with you guys. We want to see what you got cooking for the weekend. Bo, get us out of here, man.
Hey, Carl, I listen to this on my golf cart when I'm driving around my neighborhood. Chris, get my...
All right. Yeah, boy. And by the way, if you have no culinary skills at all, it's also brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings. Let them do the cooking. Thousands of wing combinations and flavors. So get it on, man. And they've got Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale at all three locations. Hoots Wings, chicken wings, and other things. HootsWings.com.
Hey, man, Dog Report's coming up. G-Day is tomorrow. The spring game. We'll talk to Jeff Santel about it and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.